go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubacher, your host, and I've got a very special guest today. The fitness ninja himself, the one and only Mark Zelmanoff. Most people just call him Mark Z because they can't handle the whole last name, but I'm feeling big today. Mark, welcome. Welcome, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome, man. Very welcome. Why don't you start these guys out? I'll let you give your own introduction because I don't feel worthy to tell these fine folks about you and all the thing you've accomplished and all the people you've nearly killed at your gym. I've heard stories, but nearly. love to hear more.
Nearly. I haven't lost one yet. you know, it's interesting when you talk about yourself. I don't think enough of us give ourselves credit for what we do. And then you start saying things out loud and you're like, damn, I do a lot of things. So I've been coaching for 19 years. I've been a health and fitness coach. I've worked in big box gyms. I've worked out of other people's gyms. I currently own my own gym in Frisco, Texas. I do personal training. I do small group training. I do online coaching. I coach other fitness professionals to help them grow their business because over 19 years, I've made a lot of mistakes. And if I can help people to avoid at least a few of those, then I feel like I'm giving back to this industry a little bit. And I'm also a coach in the Apex Executive Program. So basically, I just coach people all day long and I love it. You know, I've realized over the years that my purpose in this world is to make people better in any capacity that I can. And so everything that I do is aligned with that now, and it feels amazing.
That is awesome. I'm sure you've witnessed many, many life changes for people in so many different ways, which will kind of lead into the reason why I wanted to bring you on, because I'm sure there's probably some people listening and they're like, why do you have this guy on, Steve? How does fitness even relate to like firearms and business and life and everything else? And like, just listen up. It's actually all intertwined in what people don't realize. And I just figured this out myself. I knew it, but it's one of those things that you don't commonly think about. It's when you break down the core of the things that we do, you know, there's really kind of almost four pillars. You know, you have yourself, you know, your health, your fitness, and all those sorts of things. You have your job or career, whatever. You have your family. And then you have your spirituality, relationship with God, whatever it is that you personally call it. And those four kind of all rely on each other. And I didn't realize until I had let myself slide how important the body fitness aspect was to all the others. So the angle that I would love to hear your input on is you know, why you think that is, why people don't realize it, but then also why it makes such a big difference to take care of yourself and those other things. You think, hey, you know what? I got a great job. I got enough money. Yeah, I got a beautiful wife. My kids are awesome. You know, got close relationship with God. My body, yeah, whatever, you know. But you see that so often. But I mean, what's your take on that?
So this will be fun. There's so many different aspects of this that come into play. Number one, I think if you understand the gift that we have of being alive, you know, there's some stat out there that says like there's a 1 in 4 trillion chance of you being born, like period, as showing up as a human being on planet Earth, like a 1 in 4 trillion shot at that happening. So the gift of life is unique in and of itself. So then what do we do with it? Well, a lot of people squander it away. I mean, we see that all the time. You know, they just live a mundane existence and you just kind of accept what comes your way and it's good enough and you settle and then you die, right? And then there's those of us who understand what we've been given and we want more and we want to live this thing as fully and as joyfully and as wholly as possible because this is all we got. You know, we're only here for a short time. You think about the grand scheme of time and we are but a blip on the screen, right? So how does the fitness thing tie in? Well, you know, there's a saying in our circle of how you do anything is how you do everything. Mm. So when you have all those other things in play, like you said, you know, the family life is good and the income's good and you love your career. But I promise you, if your health and fitness isn't on par with the rest of it, all those other things suffer. And, you know, part of it for our circle of people, when you start talking about entrepreneurs and successful people, you know, do you want to spend your last 20 years in and out of hospitals, in and out of the doctor's office? You got a, you know, a drawer full of prescription medications because you didn't take care of yourself. And so often, you know, we operate with this delayed gratification mindset of one day, you know, I'm going to keep working hard till one day. Well, then the one day comes and you can't even enjoy it because you're overweight, you got diabetes, you got high blood pressure, you can't be too far away from your CPAP machine. Like, there's all these other things that start to come into play. And I've seen over and over again in my career, the way that people operate in the gym, I can tell you with like 98% certainty what the rest of their life looks like.
Mm.
And it's interesting because when you look at it this way, we live in the most comfortable time of humanity. There's been no time in human history that's ever been more comfortable than right now. And we all have our problems. I don't discount any of that stuff. But look, you know, there's food is no longer than 5 minutes away from me at any point in time. I could probably pay somebody to actually feed me if I wanted to. I mean, that's how good we got it, right? You know, there were centuries of like, man, I hope we don't die of starvation. And now it's like, oh, we got to throw out this food because it went bad. Like, that's crazy when you think about how it wasn't that long ago that was a concern, right? So we have to find ways to actually get uncomfortable, which is also really weird. And the gym is one of those things. It doesn't necessarily have to be the gym, but fitness in and of itself is one of those areas where it's you and the thing. It has nothing to do with anybody outside of you. It has nothing to do with the person working out next to you. It has nothing to do with your spouse or your kids or anything. It's you and whatever it is that you're doing. And in those moments, you have a decision to make of how hard you're going to work. And are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you willing to let your heart rate go to 180 or 185 and feel like, oh crap, I can't breathe, or I'm going to pass out, or I'm nauseous, or whatever. And there's just so few people that are willing to do that. But the majority of people that are willing to do that, all the rest of their life is probably really damn good. At least that's been my experience.
Oh yeah. I believe that, you know, it's just interesting. It's like, it's one thing for me in my journey recently. So I got to the point now where, you know, I really, really let myself go to crap over. It wasn't COVID's fault. It was just my fault. You know, just lack of motivation, the mayhem that ensued with the businesses and everything else. And then I got to the point now where, you know, back on track, feeling great. Where, you know, I started measuring things. You know, that started out in the beginning with my food intake. You know, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to lose weight, if I'm going to get back in shape, obviously I could just not put garbage in it. And I'm past that. I don't, but the thing next is portions, you know? So what did I do? So I bought a little, on the little scales, you know, everything is weight. If it goes in my mouth, it gets weight. And people thought I was crazy. Like, why are you doing that? It's like, because I want to know, because I don't know what the number is. I can't tell by looking at this yet how many calories this is, or is this how much I should be eating, or is it not, or all those sorts of things. And then now I just took that to the next thing for me is, I was getting to the point in my workouts where, like, I think my heart rate is up high enough. I think I'm sustaining it. You know, it's like, well, I know if I push myself till I puke, then I know I push myself as far as I can. But that gets old, especially when there's other people in the gym. That's not fun. Then the other one is like, in like, it's a fine line between, for me anyway, especially in the beginning, was puke and pass out. Okay, you puke, it's no fun. And yeah, it's Pete. You're gonna get a little bit of crap for a while, but if you pass out, especially like on a treadmill or something, people are gonna be, you know, you're gonna have an ambulance bill to pay. It's just gonna be really embarrassing. You might even lose your gym membership, you know. So anyway, I found the thing that some other people talked about. It's a Whoop. So I bought a Whoop.
Oh yeah.
So Started using that. I was using a polar band for a while first. And then I saw this thing, I'm like, well, you know what? The other thing I want to know for me is like, I want to know how my recovery is doing. And how am I actually sleeping, to try to just hone in on all the little details. And it's like, the more I paid attention to the details, it's like the more I was able to, you know, up a next level, a little good enough. And, you know, I'm sure you come across this all the time, is especially in the fitness and life and everything else, is the more you take yourself up a level, that next level is even harder. You know, it's even harder to get past that. You know, you get here and like, okay, well, I want to take another step up. Okay, well, now what do I got to do? Well, you know, I knew I had to do, you know, run this many sprints and, you know, do this many kettlebell swings and do this. And I know that then my heart rate would be, man, now I got to do even more, you know. And it's just the constant evolution of pushing yourself and allowing yourself to evolve as a human being, and, you know, kind of never saying good is good enough.
Yeah. You know, part of the power of the fitness journey. So you think about, we'll just use the United States. So 70% of our population is overweight or obese, which means probably more than that as a percentage doesn't ever work out, like ever. And it boggles my mind that happens, but I know there's people out there that literally never, ever work out. So the act in and of itself of getting up and putting yourself through exercise puts you ahead of 70, 80% of the population, right? Just the act of doing something rather than nothing gets you ahead. But to your point of like, okay, then what? Then what? So it's a great problem to have, because as you get in shape, you should be able to handle more. You should be able to lift more. You should recover better, which means you can go again. You don't need as much rest. And, you know, here's a really good example. So years ago, I had a client challenge me to do a half marathon. I am not a runner. I'm a short, stocky Mexican Russian dude, and I lift weight, and that's what I really love doing. And I hate running. It's not my forte. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very fast, but I was up for the challenge. So I was like, what the hell? Let's do it. It was the Disney like wine and dine half marathon. So it started at night. It was at 10 PM start time.
Ooh.
So my dumb ass never ran at night. Like, you know, I'd run a little bit late, but not like that. We get out there, it's Florida, it's humid. I make it to mile 11 and both my quads cramp up at the same time. And I'd never experienced something like that. You know, I'd have some cramps every now and then just from working out, but not like that. So I hobbled my ass for the next 2 miles and I finished, which is fine. And it was just terrible. Well, the next year rolls around and I have this thing in my head where, okay, I have to avenge this. Like, because I didn't run the whole thing. I ran 11 miles and then I hobbled two. I'm like, I need to run one to feel complete in my head. So I signed up for another one. It was in San Antonio here in Texas. I ran it. It was equally as terrible, but thank God I didn't cramp up that time. I think I only finished like a couple minutes faster than the year before. But there was something in me. It was like, I needed something. I needed a push. I needed a goal that was bigger. Well, around that time is when all these obstacle course races started coming on the scene. So there was Warrior Dash. That was the first really big one. And then I discovered the Tough Mudder. And I'm reading this description and it's like, you know, designed by UK Special Forces and, you know, 10 to 12 miles of mud and electricity. And I'm like, what? What is this? So, of course, I sign up to go do one. And at that time, it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. You know, the distance was long. The obstacles were difficult. And it was just mentally, it was kind of grueling at that time because I'd never really done anything like that. So I got hooked. I started doing those. But again, then it was, okay, well, now what? Well, then I realized they have longer versions of this same thing. So we end up doing an overnight one that was, I believe it was 10 hours, 10 or 12 hours. So it started at like 8 p.m. and went till 8 a.m. So overnight again, you know, so there's a theme going on here. I'm supposed to be working out at night for some reason. And you just keep doing loops of the course over and over and over again for that time frame, as far as you can go. So then we worked ourselves up to their 24-hour World's Toughest Mudder, which is a 5-mile course for 24 hours. And, you know, to this day, that's probably still one of the hardest things I've done. But I'm always looking for that edge, again, to push myself and to get uncomfortable, because my life is really, really fucking comfortable. And when I can do those things, it really helps me to get out of my own head, to push myself, and to know that I'm capable of something like that. So when the problems that we face in life, which, let's face it, are mostly first world problems for us, when those things arise, I'm like, you know what, if I can make it through that thing, I can make it through this. And that's what I use a lot of fitness for. And, you know, I train a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs, and I see that theme repeatedly of, you know, it's the place that they're like, I'm going to get really uncomfortable here, and it's going to make all these other problems not seem so bad.
Mm. You ever find that the more you embrace that, the more you kind of seek to make yourself uncomfortable?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts that we do that. It's the, you know, why as entrepreneurs, why do we start new businesses? Like, you know, we could have a perfectly flourishing, lovely business that gives us all the profit we want, and we're like, oh, this is great. Ooh, I wonder what else I could do.
Oh yeah. Like at the same time, you know.
Absolutely. But it's the mentality of it, right? It's the mindset that some of us have of like, no, I want to squeeze every ounce of life I can out of this experience before I'm gone. And, you know, I talk all the time about death, and I'm not a morbid person at all. You know, a lot of people say I'm the happiest person they ever meet, but the ever presence of death that we know is our fate. Like, nobody gets out of this thing, you know, Lord willing, I got another 70, 80 years, but it could end today too. I don't know. You know, no, right. We don't know when the clock's up. So, you know, my goal is to live as fully as I can every day. It doesn't mean you live the day like it's your last day, because we know there's tons of things we wouldn't be doing if it was our last day and we knew.
Amen.
It. but it does mean that we can live and present ourselves in a way that, you know, if this was the last day, people go, man, that was a good dude. Like, the last time I saw him, he had a smile on his face. The last time I saw him, he was pushing himself. The last time I saw him, he was helping somebody. Like, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. And so I do believe so much of it ties back into that willingness to get in the gym or workout or whatever you do for physical fitness and just push yourself, because there's always people that, like, I think about this. There's people that wish they could do the things that I complain about sometimes.
Mm.
You know, if I'm in the gym doing burpees, I'm like, oh my God, these suck. And like, I don't have air conditioning in my gym, so it's just hot, you know? But I'm like, there's a dude without legs out there somewhere that would give anything to be able to do a set of burpees right now. And those are the things that play in my head. Then I'm like, shut up, quit your bitching, and finish your burpees.
Yep, absolutely. Embrace the suck, you know, as they say. It's interesting. I go back to when you were talking about the, you know, 70% of, you know, obesity rate, and it just, I don't think anybody thought it would get to the point it is now. And I see it every day. So it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic where I go to the gym most of the times, I go a couple of days a week, I go down to a place called Oak Athletic Performance, which they do more like functional stuff. They have like a little bit of a turf field in there and all kinds of stuff like that. And then the rest of the days of the week, I go to the little local 24-hour gym, which is great, because most of the time I go to the crazy early in the morning. So I have the place to myself, and it's just my little private gym. I know if you've seen my selfies, 90% of the time, there is no one in the background.
Oh, what?
So, nobody. So you go there, but the interesting thing is, so like if I'm running late, you know, usually I'm there at, you know, 5 a.m. or so, sometimes 4:30, sometimes later, depends on the day a little bit. But if I'm there later, especially like on weekends, you know, I'll be wrapping up around 7 or 7:30, 8 o'clock. And it's sandwiched in between a liquor store on one side, liquor and tobacco shop on one side. And on the other side is, I don't know if they have these down in Texas, but they're called gaming cafes. So basically what they are is mini casinos. So basically the state allows now, you can put slot machines in any business that gets a license that has a liquor license. So the thing they're doing now is that, you know, you'll see those at like 5 slot machines at like restaurants and bars and stuff, but they're opening up these little micro storefronts just to put the gaming machines in, they get a liquor license. So they're called gaming cafes. So people just come there basically just to play the slot machines and drink beer or whatever. But so sandwich right in between there. So I'm sitting here and the cardio deck is right in front. So right by the window. So I'm by the windows. I see people in and out of the liquor store, people right in the morning, people in and out of the gaming cafe. And I'm just like, gym's still empty. Yeah. In and out. Parking lot's full. Gym's still empty. I'm just like, man, it's like, you just can't believe it. You know, you think of like, I was watching with my grandson the other day. I hadn't seen this movie in a long time. And it was really kind of an epiphany moment for me of how funny, how cartoons that like predict the future aren't that far off. And I think you might know which one I'm talking about. WALL-E.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, this isn't that far off. I mean,
people rolling around in carts in Walmart because they got anything wrong with them.
Yeah, just because it's too tiring. And I get it. You know what? Everybody's got to start somewhere. But if there's a will, there's a way. People can certainly do something. But the other aspect I think about it too, though, is like on a lot of things is fitness in general is kind of a slow fade. You know, it's not like you wake up one day and, you know, you don't work out for a few days or eat bad for a week and then you're just shot. You know, you don't notice that you feel bad. And a lot of times, like, you'll keep fading. At least for me, I have, like, keep fade. And then I don't even know that I feel bad because I don't remember what feeling good is like. It's just like the new normal. Oh, never mind. Elmer bleeped that out because I don't even want to use those words. But, you know, it's like you understand your reality of, hey, I don't even know. But then, once you get back into it, you know, once you start eating right, like, wow, how did I even like sustain myself that way? How did I not like realize? But you don't. You know, it's just like they always say, without the dark, you wouldn't know what the light is. You know, so if you just don't know, it's just such a cool journey is just how tied in it is, you know.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard people that, you know, I've worked with them for a while. They lose 30, 40, 50 pounds or whatever. And then one day in the gym, I'm like, hey, go grab, you know, some 25s or whatever. And they come back over and all of a sudden I can see the wheels turning and they go, man, I used to have this on my body all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that realization of, oh, shit, like, this is a lot of weight that my body was carrying around unnecessarily. And you're right. Most people don't gain a whole lot of weight in a very short amount of time or get really out of shape in a short amount of time. It's they gain 5 pounds this year and then they gain 7 pounds next year and then they gain 5 pounds this year. And, you know, you get 3, 4, 5, 6 years into that and all of a sudden, quote unquote, they're 30 pounds overweight. They're 35 pounds overweight. They're 50 pounds overweight and they haven't worked out for 3 years. And they wonder why it's so hard. You know, people start back. They say 80% of people stop a new exercise program within 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Dude, you just took like half a decade to get your ass out of shape and you expect 6 weeks to do something? Like, you're just training your brain to react to something at that point. You know, and yeah, you can have a little bit of weight loss in the beginning, but you know, the people that I work with, we're in it for the long haul. And I let them know, I'm like, look, when you sign up with me, I expect to work with you until one of us dies. That's my goal. Because I don't, you know, and I can get people ready for things. You know, you got a vacation coming up or a wedding or that's totally fine. But like, that's not my stick, man. That, you know, my gig is we're in this for the long haul. And I'm going to teach you how to eat right. And I'm going to show you how to do this for the long run sustainably. So you're healthy. So your joints feel good. You know, I got a guy that later this month, so this is what, July 2021. So later this month will be 13 years he's been training with me. 13 years.
That's awesome.
And he's like, you know, he came to me, had a bad back. He has degenerative disc and he was given an option of, look, you can do surgery or you can go get your ass in shape. You decide. And thank God, you know, we need more doctors like that. We need more chiropractors like that that will just tell people the truth instead of trying to medicate them. And he's like, I don't want back surgery. I know that. So he came, you know, he found me. We started working together. This is really interesting. So I found his first workout. I had written on a sheet of paper. And like day one, he squatted like 40 pounds and deadlifted 50 pounds. And if you have any point of reference, that's not a lot of weight for a grown ass man. A few months ago on the trap bar, he deadlifted 425. Yeah. So we found that old workout. We were just laughing. I'm like, that his first workout would be a warm up for him right now. If I gave him that with the same weights, he'd be like, okay, well now what do we do? Cause I'm done with that in 10 minutes. Now what? So, you know, but he committed to it. He committed to just being healthy, and he didn't put a time frame on it of, well, I got to get in shape in this amount of time. He's like, here we go. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people miss in the fitness journey is it doesn't end. There's no end point to it. You can have a goal and you can reach that goal, and that's the end of that portion, but there's no end to being fit. Like, until the day you die, hopefully you're using your body in some way, shape, or form. You know, Jack LaLanne was, I think, like 93 when he passed away. You know, he's like the original fitness guru, right? You know, that dude, the tiny little dude, he could do like 1,000 push-ups in half an hour or something. It was just nuts. But, you know, he preached it till the very end. He was on those infomercials with his Jack LaLanne juicer and still preaching aerobics to people. But he was fit. I forget what he died of, but I mean, I think he just died because he was old. He was just an old dude. But, you know, he lived that lifestyle forever. And that's what people have to understand. There's not an end. It doesn't stop. You don't reach the goal and then just go, okay, I'm done now. Like, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah, okay, done. Now I'm just going to stay like this forever and not have to put in any more effort, and I can eat what I want. And you know, it's And it gets harder. See, that's what they don't tell you is, you know, there's somebody slipping extra plates on your rack and you don't even know it. And as you age, and it's like, what the heck? And I used to do that to my son all the time. So my son and I used to work out when he was in high school and play football. And even after, it's just kind of funny because I've always loved lifting. I've, you know, been lifting since I was in the eighth grade. So that's all of like, damn, I'm old. That's all, you know, like 35 years now, you know, but yeah, it was interesting to share that with him, but I would screw with him every time. So, you know, like, all right, you know, set of 10. And I'd have thrown an extra 10 pounds on each side at the time. Dad, I don't know why I didn't get it. I'm like, look, did you look at the weight before you laid that? No. So I taught him that, but no, it's just, man, if we could just instill that in our kids, just the love of the journey. And it doesn't always have to be, I mean, it's, yeah, you don't have to go out, and if you don't like to run, you don't have to go run marathons. You know, you can pick something you like to do too and still incorporate enough of the other things in there. There needs to be a balance. So like for me, it's like if I could go in and lift every day and be completely content and happy and you know, at this point, hardly even break much of a sweat, you know, but boy, you stick me doing some cardio and I'm like, yeah, it's like, man, just give that guy a towel. You know, it's just so funny how your body can get used to some things or some forms of exertion and not others. And, you know, just if you could get everybody to love something or even just love being active or, you know, incorporate some form of it in your life, man, we'd all be so much better off now. But I'm truly worried about the, you know, the youth of today with the, you know, the video games and screens and everything, like just thinking how different it was just, you know, from when I was a kid, you know, just, or even like, not even go back that far, just even like from, you know, my youngest is 19, my oldest is 25. So even going back to when they were kids, you know, how different it is now. And I'm like, oh, and like you wonder if the whole art of even having a conversation and then, you know, if human interaction is at some point is going to get lost. You know, it's like you text people that are sitting next to you or you're making a Snapchat video or whatever, like freaking give me the phone, go talk to them. You know, it's like our kids, like they're so, this you'll find, I think you'll find this hilarious because our kids are similar ages. Like when our kids were younger and the cell phones were out and we got them cell phones on there. I think they're maybe when they hit their teens, about when they hit their teens. But anyway, we would make them put them up at night. We would make everybody charge in the kitchen. Don't take it to bed with you, because it was such an issue, because they would literally stay up all night on these phones and then they would be like dragging ass in the morning for school. And I'm just like, we gotta change this. But they're like, hey, they even literally sat us down a couple times and tried to like make up reasons why, not make up, because they were legit reasons they had, like, okay, well, first we need to have a talk about this. So, you know, we're going to sit down and discuss this as adults. And, you know, well, these are the reasons why, you know, you really should just let us take our phones to bed with us and whatnot. I said, well, here's reason number one is, you know, you're the only one that's doing it. Reason number two is we can't talk about it because it's such a strange because, you know, we don't want people to outcast us because our parents are weird. And, you know, it's like, it was just so great looking at the end and saying, you know what, I'm going to be that guy. I'll be that parent. I'll be the weird one. You know, I'll do that. And eventually they learn balance and, you know, and I mean, that's obviously a struggle for even me as an adult. I have to put boundaries in place. You know, I have to put it on airplane mode at night or at least turn all the alerts off. Cause man, it buzzes like these days, like it buzzes or something. You're like, oh, what could that be? What I need to know what it is.
That little dopamine hit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so it's like such a balance. It's like, I don't know. It's just interesting to see where things are going, but you certainly wish that, you know, fitness would become a lot more of the norm, you know?
Well, and you know, the general picture of health and fitness is all of those things. So it's exercise, it's good nutrition, it's stress management, it's sleep management. You know, sleep's a big issue. I think that's one of the reasons so many people, I used to scroll through Facebook, not so much anymore, but I would see a lot of people go, oh, I got insomnia. I can't sleep again. You can't sleep, but you're on your phone. Well,
yep.
That ain't helping the problem, sister. Like, you know, there's all these other things that play into overall wellness that people negate. And, you know, because we're so tied to our social media, or we have this hustle culture that, you know, I got to work. Like, I mean, Steve, you know, you and I could probably work, you know, 24 hours a day and never feel like we're done. You know, there's always something to do. Like when you run your own businesses, there's always work to be done. I could content create forever. I could write another book. There's so much to do, but you have to establish those boundaries because at some point your body's going to give up on you. And that's a lot of times when I see people get sick, it's because they've been going so much that eventually their immune system just wears down and it's your body telling you, hey, stop. Like either you stop or I'm going to make you stop. You know, I joke around, but it's not really a joke. Like I get sick about once every 7 years and it's really weird how it happens. But like, and I mean sick to the point where I don't go to the gym. Like I got to skip a day of work. I got to go get some meds. You know, I catch a cold every now and then, but I only get sick like that once every 7 years or so. And I can probably look back at each one of those times and be like, I wasn't allowing myself to rest. I wasn't letting my mind calm down a little bit from time to time. I was just going. And that you mentioned earlier about people feeling uncomfortable and not realizing it. That's one of the biggest reasons I think so many people stay out of shape, because they don't understand that your back isn't supposed to hurt all the time. Like, you're not supposed to have knee pain when you're 35. Like you're not supposed to be short of breath in your 30s when you walk up one flight of stairs. Like there's all these things, but it becomes the norm because people get used to it and they don't realize how uncomfortable they are until they're not that way anymore. And to your point, you know, all of a sudden you know, you lose some weight, you get in shape, you start taking care of yourself. You're like, fuck, how did I live like that?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that statement before. Man, how did I do that? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea how you live that way.
Yeah, man, it's so true. And you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, even on your journey back, like I just think like back now, like when I really started hitting it hard last fall, but getting back at it. And it's interesting because there's always going to be setbacks, you know. So like for example, the first time I started doing was during the winter time. I started 75 hard. I tore a calf and I'm like, I freaking tore a calf. I'm like, come on. Like, I'm like, are you serious? You know? And it's like, of course I look back and I'm like, I didn't even do anything stupid. You know, I was literally like trying to jog a little along with my walk. And, you know, and it wasn't like I was like, I'm going to run 12 miles an hour. I didn't even do that. I'm like, I'm getting old. And then like, And then like, oh, so the second time. So, okay, I get back from that, get back to normal, start to like, okay, we're going to try this thing again. 75 hard again. Second time. I get COVID. I freaking get COVID a couple of like 3 weeks in. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, yeah, sure. I mean, well, no, there's one day I would have missed. The one day I had it, I was pretty much down for the count. Well, no, I worked out that day. So I didn't get in the second workout. But I mean, it's like I could almost skated through. And it's like, no, yeah. Nope. I mean, like if I'm going to do this and I'm going to say I did that for 75 days, everything is going to be perfect. And so we'll see. I'm about to go at it again here. If something's not perfect again, I'll start over. I don't care, but it's interesting. But it's interesting, like how many setbacks you have and like how many chances you have to quit. You know, they're never ending, you know, any little thing even little things. Like one day I go to get my workout in and it's like a 24 hour gym. So I got the little swipe card doesn't work. I could have went home and went back to bed, you know? You know, I went for a walk jog instead to do something, you know, but it's like all those little decisions, like there's setbacks and either you're going to find a way around them or through them, or you're going to allow them to affect you. And we find that in all areas of our life. And it's just the road back is harder than the road down. You know, there's nothing setting you back from that third cheeseburger. You know, there's nothing going to get in your way. You know, maybe worst case, you might need to burp, you know, might need an extra beverage, but you know what? That waitress will bring that cheeseburger every single time. Yeah. Getting back into it is not quite as easy.
Yeah. You know, my book Make Good Choices is to me, I wrote it as a reminder for people to literally do just that. And, you know, regardless of what you did yesterday, regardless of what you've been doing or not been doing, you know, the next choice can be a better one. And I think when people are trying to start off exercising and they haven't done anything for a while and they don't know what to do and they don't know what to eat, you know, because there's so much misinformation out there of what's right and what's wrong and all that. But I think if more people could just focus on the next decision, what is the best choice I can make right now? You know, so the next time you eat, I don't care what you ate, you know, you could have ate, you know, whatever crappy McDonald's, you know, McGriddles, you could have had seven of those for breakfast and you can just call the whole thing a wash. You can go, you know what, I should probably eat a salad right now. And you can go have a salad and you can make a better choice. You can go, you know what, I ate seven McGriddles. That's a lot of McGriddles, by the way. You know, I should probably take a walk. So, you know, humans, we're great at overcomplicating everything. But if we just focus on the next best choice, what's the next thing I can do that will benefit me, that will make me a little bit better and move me towards being better in whatever realm that is? If we could just focus on that more often than focus on the big thing, I think we'd be so much better off. You know, if you take a person, it's got 100 pounds to lose. And if all they're focused on is that 100 pounds, they're never going to lose one. Because it's a daunting task. Like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get there. You know, that's at least a year's worth for most people. But if you just focus on, hey, the next time I get on that scale, it needs to be less than it is right now. Okay, cool. And when you get on the scale and you say, oh, look at that, I'm down a pound. Well, I did it once, just like making money. I did it once. I could do it again, surely, you know, and you just keep moving forward. And the next time you get on a scale, like, oh, well, shit, look at that. I lost 3 pounds. Well, that's pretty cool. Now I only got 96 to go. You know what I mean? Like you just have to break it down in those small tangible chunks. Again, you know, we don't build million-dollar businesses overnight either. You know, most of us are overnight successes, you know, 2 decades in the making.
Right. You didn't see the other 19 years. You just saw what I did in the last year. You didn't see everything else. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we really do have to just focus on what that next best choice is. And quit worrying about figuring it all out, having all the answers. We're never going to have all the answers, so quit trying to do that. But it's, you know, it's hard. Look, I see it firsthand every day. It's really hard. It's really hard for people to keep working out. It's really hard for somebody to show up the next day when they're super, super sore. That's just the reality of it. But you get to choose your hard. That's the other fact that most people don't understand. We understand that, but most people don't. Like, you know, it can either be, I can either choose soreness and, you know, maybe I jack up my shoulder a little bit doing something funky in the gym, or I can have diabetes or high blood pressure, or low back pain from not moving and not doing anything and not eating healthy. Like there's going to be something hard somewhere along the line. So you might as well make it something that benefits you.
Choose your heart, right? Choose a, choose one that serves you instead of just leaving it to a random chance. Yeah. It's so crazy. You see, you definitely see people that don't think ahead either, you know, and not thinking about, you know, it's all about the right now culture, you know, it's instant gratification. And, you know, it's interesting because I did a little pivot for myself as I used to always, I'm a big music guy. I always love music and listen to some different stuff. And some of it gets me in trouble at the gym more than others because I get out of hand sometimes. And being a big, scary, bald man who always has a, I don't even know what do they call a resting bitch face on a guy, but they always say, like, people make fun of my wife, especially because married. She says, you know, you always look so serious. You look like you're a serial killer or something. I'm like, why I gotta be a serial killer? You know, but the big bald, you know, scary looking. And then you know, I had a little incident at the gym. I don't know if you read or not in my post, but so I was singing along some Eminem. I was getting in some good heavy sets of incline bench. I was feeling like a monster. I was just feeling awesome. So just singing along just a few select lyrics here and there. And next thing you know, I'm blurting out, I'm going to tie you to the bed and light the house on fire. And hey, there was a couple of older ladies that had just came in the gym and they had left abruptly after that. And there's a guy, I didn't even realize I did it at the time, but there was another guy there that I've known a little bit from the gym. And he was just cracking up. Like, what's so funny, man? What's, you know, what? These numbers aren't good enough for you? I thought he was, you know, laughing at me. He was like, well, I guess I wasn't benching enough. And he just told me the story of what happened. And I felt terrible. I'm like, oh, I did. I was serious. I thought he was screwing with me. But so I changed it up a little bit and do a little less music. And I do some listening to, you know, some motivational stuff, some different either short motivational speeches or longer stuff. And it's just interesting because how that changes a mindset. And one just talks about is, you know, making your next decision, you know, making your next decision right, no matter how small it is, you know, taking one step, you know, just moving forward, you know, and also the fact that the belief of there is no such thing as standing still, you know, that does not exist. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. You know, you can't just, you know, stay in a point of stasis for any length of time, and that you have to choose which direction you're going to move. Just that epiphany for me, it's just like, wow, you know, it's just it employs me to just do the little things, you know, and just try to do something right. Just, well, I mean, even like last night, my son was here with his fiance and my wife, and decided, hey, most of the time when it's just the wife these days, we're doing a lot of these, you know, prepackaged meals because it's easier, because actually we're just selling our house. We're getting ready to move. So it's like, I don't really want to cook and make a mess every night. And all the healthy portion wise, it's just easy. It just actually works and they taste good. So either we do iconic meals or factor, or we kind of switch it up between the different ones. They're here last night. And so that they wanted Chinese. I'm like, really, should I get Chinese? Well, I just flipped it up. I said, yeah, you know, I'll do Chinese with you guys. However, usually I would gravitate towards a sweet and sour something. And I'm like, so I just started searching, hey, what's the healthiest Chinese something you can eat? I ended up with Mongolian beef. So wasn't bad. Didn't blow my day or blow my calories or blow anything. And just by simple little changes, I'm like, oh, hey, that was a good choice. Hey, I made a good choice. I'm not going to get shanked, you know. No.
That's what it takes. It's just a series of good choices over time.
They add up, man. They really add up one way or the other, either good or bad. You know, what you do will add up. You can't hide from it forever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like our buddy Thomas says, small steps forward daily.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thomas, me and actually business partner spent some time with Thomas at Step It Up a few weeks ago. And, That was eye-opening. Talk about thinking you have at least somewhat of something together and getting everything torn down and realize you're like, well, that was like you talked about earlier, one of the when you don't know what you don't know. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, oh, wow. Like, you know, I just looked at the partners today. Dude, we suck. You know, just, but it's good because now, you know, once you know what the problems are, then you can, then you can fix them. You know, the thing I always like to end my podcast with is I always ask the one question, or if it's just me, I do some solo ones once in a while, I'll do it myself. But so if you could give our listeners just one simple tip on productivity, you know, how to get more done, something like that. What is the one thing that you would share with them?
Well, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, but live by the calendar. Like if it's not on your calendar, that shit ain't happening. And I lived that for a long time. I've never felt like truly disorganized, but there was a time where it's like, I would just get to things, which means I never got to shit. And the more that I put things on my calendar, which I've learned from so many great people around us, from Drewby, you know, Drewby Wilson, Thomas, Mike Claudio is a master at that, of, you know, map your day out. Like everything goes on the calendar. Your workout is a meeting on your calendar. Your social media time is on your calendar. Your time with your family is on your calendar. I know people think that's weird, but why is that weird? We'll put all our business shit on our calendar, but the thing that's most important to you, you won't put on there. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, date night with your wife, put it on the calendar. Playtime with the kids, put it on the calendar. Because what it does is, for me, it allows you to focus on the task at hand because you know you already allocated time for the other things that you need to do. So you can really be present in the moment and go, okay, well, I know from this time to this time, I do this. And then when that time's over, I move on and I can complete this task. And then when that's done, I complete this task. And it's a great way to measure productivity and be able to look and go, okay, am I spending my time wisely? Am I getting things done in the way that needs to be done? And if something keeps disappearing from the calendar, is it really that important?
True. That's gold right there. Just looking at it from that angle, you know, just being intentional, you know, you don't do it. And like for me now, I'm getting to the age of, I have to, because if, this is going to sound terrible, but if I don't put stuff on my calendar, I'll forget. You know, I mean, legitimately. Yeah. Like, and if I don't put it on my calendar right then, I'll forget what I was going to do to put it on my calendar. So, I mean, it's like, there's just, you know, well, you know, you got the entrepreneur brain. There's so much going on in there anyway, but that those the little things like, man, I know I'm forgetting something, but what is it? You know? And it's just like, it's just terrible. So yeah, I started doing that myself and it's been a game changer. You know, I haven't gotten nearly as much trouble with the wife recently. I haven't had to tell people, no, dude, I'm sorry. You're really important to me, but I forgot. No, I mean, I'll just be honest. Yeah, I forgot again. Yeah, again. This is like, but anyway. You know what? That's usually the last question, but I got one more for you, because if I don't ask this, I will get lots of flack back from our listeners, because, you know, I said, hey, you had a fitness guru on and you didn't ask him the question. And I say, well, here's because this is a big thing debate. We hear this one a lot. So what's the best diet? Not just for weight loss, but for overall health. What's the best eating plan out there?
The best diet is the one you'll keep doing. They all work when you work them. And when you stop working them, they stop working. So you have to find something that's actually sustainable for the long term. That for most people, that does not mean taking whole food groups out. For most people, that does not mean intermittent fasting. For most people, that does not mean making paleo weird shit, eating cauliflower tortillas. Like, for most people, it means regular food, portion correctly, moderation. And I hate that word, but it's true. And just being mindful of how much you're actually shoving in your pie hole. I mean, that's really it for most people. You've got medical conditions, totally different ball game, but most people just need to eat less food, honestly, and just find something that doesn't have that deprivation aspect where, you know, you say, okay, well, you can't have potatoes now. And now all you want is potatoes because somebody told you can't have them.
Have you noticed that? I mean, so hang on. So you mean to tell me that we can go 15, 20 minutes without eating and we'll be fine? We won't die? So you just said it. I have this debate. So for me, what works is, and what I feel the best on and people think I'm crazy and they tell me there's no way possible. And then I'm full of crap and that I'm eating stuff in the closet or something is I love intermittent fasting. And lately I've been doing kind of a, like the warrior diet, you know, like just like keeping my eating window really small. So 2-3 hours and then, you know, and eating a good amount. And I work out in the morning in a fasted state. And I even do, you know, I lift and I do hard cardio and they're like, you can't do that. That's not possible. You'll die. You'll die. You're gonna die. So that's a great debate I have. It's like just no. We're not gonna die. Our bodies aren't made that way. You know, it's like we're made to go time without food. Our bodies adjust and try to explain the whole, you know, ketosis thing and burning fat. You'll die. Your brain. And the funny thing is like I overheard a conversation. So I was in the hospital the other day in the waiting room just because my wife was having a little procedure done. And I heard these two ladies talking and they were both actually medical. One was a nurse and one was not a dietitian, but something else along the food service lines. And they were arguing about, oh, no, your brain always needs carbs. You can't live without carbs. You can't do that. You're gonna really harm your body by doing that, you know, because she was doing some sort of a higher protein, low carb sort of thing. You need to make sure you eat those carbs and you got to have at least 3 meals a day. That's just a staple. You have to eat 3 times a day. And just listening to this and just like, I think just the whole education part, people of you know, people knowing, you know, like you like just like you said, the one that works is the works, you know, is what works, what works for you and how you feel good, you know, just but at the end of the day, hey, calories in, calories out, right? If you eat more calories than you burn, you're going to gain weight.
Amen to that. And, you know, we're dynamic individuals. Like we're not, you know, we're not robots that you put this exact amount in and this exact amount comes out. Like our bodies change, the demand changes from day to day. It changes. If you work out, depending on if you're lifting weights, how heavy you lifted, did you do a lot of cardio? Like, all those things play a role. So, you know, we have to be aware of what that does and in tune with our body and willing to try some things out. You know, I tell people all the time, nutrition is really just an ongoing experiment for everyone. And it's, and again, it's figuring out what works for you. How do you feel? Are you performing the way you want to perform in the gym and outside of the gym? Do you have the energy? Are you mentally clear? Like all those things come into play. So if your diet is the proper one for you, all those things should be good. Your energy level should be fine during the day. You shouldn't have big highs and lows. You should be able to go to the gym and perform the way you want to perform there. You should be able to sleep well and recover well. So when you check all those boxes off, to me, that means you're eating well. And if any of those things are awry, then you have to kind of analyze what you're doing, make the changes, let them, you know, make those changes for a couple of weeks, see how you feel. And then you just continue to adjust. So it's never, again, just like fitness, it's never done. There's never one solution to it. You just have to be willing to experiment a little bit and really figure out what actually does work for you.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on today, Mark. I'm sure our folks are going to get a lot of value because it's something we don't talk about a lot. You know, we'll talk guns and ammunition and you know, physics and ballistics and everything else, but you know, you don't hear a whole lot of, there's just so much misinformation floating around. And, you know, I certainly we'll have all your contact info in the show notes too. So if anybody is listening to this has, you know, need some help, please, you know, reach out. You don't have to do it on your own. And I can just tell you as I have not witnessed anyone die from anything Mark has had them do. There were a few close calls, but we'll leave that off for now. Thanks again for tuning in for the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Schaubacher, and it's been fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.